anything combat with Johnny K.
Well, it's anything combat, though.
Welcome back, combatants to the Anything Combat Show. I'm your host, Johnny K. Today, we're joined by the International Growth Director of Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship, a man that I've got a lot of respect for, seeing that he's helped me out with the show so much, Lubomir Gedzhev. Welcome to the show, Lubomir.
Thank you, man. Thank you, Johnny. Pleasure.
So, Lubomir, I know that you're a very busy man with the BKFC right now with so many different things happening. You know, I saw that you guys went to Italy only a little bit ago, earlier in the year. You're going to all these different countries. So what's pertinent on your schedule right now for the BKFC's growth? What are you focusing on?
So right now we're focused on our upcoming event in Montenegro, in Budva, which is scheduled for the 30th of August. We only took that event like last minute, so everything is a bit hectic and we're still putting pieces together, but that's our focus now. And then we shift towards Italy, 25th of October in Rome. And then we have Bulgaria in Burgas on the 8th of November and 21st, 22nd of November, Dubai. So our schedule is pretty tight for the next few months.
Lubomir, out of all the events, which one are you most excited for right now?
To be honest, I'm looking at each event as a separate entity and a thrill on its own. I don't think there is a comparison. Balkan countries, where I'm from, obviously, because I'm from here, I'm interested to see how this region is going to grow. But then Italy is a country that we did one of our best shows, and I'm really curious to see how we can expand over there and penetrate the market even deeper. And then Dubai, another interesting place. I mean, there is really no comparison. The fight cards are different. The fighters are different. The environment, the audience, if you will. So I can't compare them at all, man. They're all independent, individual treasures.
Lubomir, you spoke about the growth. I've been reviewing the BKFC stuff for a while now, and I saw that, you know, back in the day when we had like Artem Lobov versus Paulie Mangiani, or how do you say his name? You know, the BKFC was growing from back then, and then it seriously took off, it spiked, and then after it spiked, Mike Perry came, it had another spike, and then it got to a height. And then McGregor came in, which spiked it again. So I want to know, seeing that you're in the internals of the business, tell me a little bit more about that growth. What does that look like? And what are the trends there? Can you just explain to me what you've seen in the growth over the years?
Look, to be honest, it's a very dynamic environment. Things are changing quickly. Every day there is something new. David Feldman is an incredible leader and he's constantly engaged in different deals and different proposals. He's constantly seeking ways to expand the business and to scale the organization. So it's a dynamic environment. Now with the international events getting stronger, I think that brings another element of growth, if you will, or popularity, simply because we are stepping in new territories. And people are getting familiar with the fact that BKFC is now stepping in other countries. But I think it's a combination of everything, really. And I can't really predict how everything is going to go. I'm just really confident that we have, so far, the best formula to expand. The team is really good. David is an incredible leader. He inspires everyone that works with him. So it's kind of like an organic growth that we're taking, which I find interesting for our industry, because not many organizations take similar approach, at least based on my experience.
Quickly, Lubomir, why did who gave you the nickname Virus? Why would you be called Virus? Really?
So when I was fighting my MMA years, my style was predominantly grappling because I'm a BJJ guy. So one of the guys in Bulgaria made the analogy that when I wrap my tentacles around someone, I'm like a virus and you need antibiotics to get rid of me. That's how the name came up. This was long before the virus became such a bad word, you know, following COVID.
I read up on your history. I know that you did some dealings with UAE Warriors. Is that right?
I started Abu Dhabi Warriors. It was a project of my boss when I was working in Abu Dhabi, Mr. Abdulmunam Al Hashimi, who wanted to have a local-based MMA organization. So he gave me the task. I assembled Abu Dhabi Warriors at the time. It was called Abu Dhabi Warriors. From the logo to the concept, we were doing it in a boxing ring because I was a fan of Pride back in the day. So that's how it started. We ran like 6 or 7 events. And then in 2018 or something, I discontinued. And then it was taken over by Pansports, the company that I worked for. They rebranded it UAE Warriors and continued on the path.
Do you think that experience has really helped you for your dealings with Feldman and the BKFC?
Absolutely. A lot, in fact, because I did events on 4 continents under Abu Dhabi Warriors flag. We did co-promotions in China, in Russia, in Brazil, Malaysia, Thailand. Obviously, my time in Abu Dhabi in general, where I spent almost 20 years, did help me a lot, because working in multicultural environment helps you understand different mentalities better. So, and also working for the people that I worked for helped me a lot to understand that the higher the person is, the more busier they are. So the way you deal with them should be picked appropriately and diplomatically, which I think helped me with David. That's how him and I got to know each other over time, without any rush. And he was able to test my skills, my abilities, and my work ethics before we decided to work together officially.
You spoke about David's vision in the combat sports scene. Can you give me a little bit more information about what is it there that you respect or you see having such a impact on the combat sports scene? What vision has he kind of specified that you resonate with?
That's a very good question, and thank you for asking. So I think I would slightly rephrase it. David is a visionary, but a lot of other leaders are also visionaries. And what I find unique about BKFC and David Feldman in particular is not so much the type of vision that he has. The vision is obviously to grow BKFC and to leave a legacy. But I truly admire him, and I'm really excited to work for him, because he was a former fighter, he was a boxer, so he understands the pain and the sacrifices that every fighter puts on the ring trying to build their career. So he's a man that experienced it, and that makes a really big difference. I'm a former fighter, so I understand it too. But finding someone to work for that understands the lowest tiers of the organization, someone that also understands that everything relates back to the fighters. It's all about the fighters. BKFC is a great brand. We can do a lot. But without good fighters, nobody in this industry can survive. And then the other thing is that the way that he leads people, his decisions are always based on his own principles and beliefs, not so much on economical impact or strictly business, which also adds value because he's doing a lot of sacrifices to build the organization, and he's looking into it long term. So that's what truly inspired me and makes me happy to work for him and be involved in that legacy.
What's interesting for me is that when I researched him and researched the BKFC, I saw that you guys pay the fighters a really, really reasonable amount, more so than MMA promotions. And it's said that a lot of the MMA guys that go into the BKFC, they usually do it stating that they're getting paid more. So do you think that the fact that David has built a strong team, and the fact that he was a fighter as well, has caused the team to be so reasonable with fighter pay and not stingy like a lot of MMA promotions, which take advantage of fighters?
To be honest, I think all the decisions are are based really well economically. David knows that business really well, especially from U.S. perspective, which is my weakest knowledge, for example. So I don't think there is anyone who is overpaid in the sense that we are trying to get fighters with money, meaning we're not trying to, to play with fighters with the money or attract them with the packages to fight for us. We always deal with fighters that are truly pushing, that really want to fight for us. Their purses are based on the place they fight, how many tickets they can help us sell, and what impact they have on our viewership. So I don't think we have anyone who's overpaid purely just to put him on the card. And David is really good at what he does. But having said that, having said that, I think in the MMA world right now, it's much harder to get good pay simply because there are too many promotions. And a lot of them operate regionally, they attract regional interest. So that might have something to do with it too.
Do you see Conor McGregor ever compete in the BKFC? His voice is want to do that. So do you think that will happen?
I think it's one of the most speculated topics. I for sure cannot say anything outside of a speculation. I can only say that I would like him to. I mean, I would love to see him fighting on that rule set for PKFC simply because it's a very interesting rule set and I think it matches Conor's style. So purely from an athletic perspective, from a fighter's perspective, I think that'll be very interesting. Will it happen? I don't know, man. There's so many factors involved. I have no idea.
You know what I've heard and also something that I've thought about was the fact that he's had such a big past with Jeremy Stephens, right? And he's also had history with Mike Perry. So I wouldn't be surprised if after the Mike Perry-Jeremy Stephens fight that he would fight either of them in a match in the BKFC just off the storyline and how it's been set up for him. You know what I mean?
That would be good, wouldn't it?
Lubomir, what I saw was that when they changed the rule set for the Muay Thai events, when they did Senchai and Buakaw in the BKFC ring, I really appreciated that because they specifically made a specialty fight or what the fans wanted to see. And I think more risks like this for the BKFC is needed. Now that I'm seeing in the UK, they're doing Vale Tudo fights, bare knuckle. You know, we've seen so many Lethwei fights in Myanmar as well. I think that it might be in the BKFC's best interest to do maybe Vale Tudo, Lethwei, or fights allowing elbows and knees only, depending on what fighter is there. If you have a Muay Thai specialist that has good clinch game and is a big name, hosting a main event where it's specialty rules, I think would really resonate with the fans, just like the Senchai Buakaw success when the BKFC put that fight on. So is this something that you're interested in?
Actually, totally the opposite. And I will share my opinion. We spoke with David on the topic as well. Well, none of us was happy with that fight. I personally think it was a mistake to mix the rule set. Not only because Senchai and Buakaw know each other and practice together, but whenever you have a Muay Thai guy or a kickboxer, it's really easy for them to use their legs, which not necessarily mean they're fighting. They can kick each other a lot more without conflicting damage, without truly seeking a knockout or a finish of the match. So in my opinion, that was not the best decision. If it's up to me, and I think David is on the same track, BKFC should be just bare knuckle boxing rules. That's what makes it interesting. It's the fact that you have to rely only on your boxing skills to win the fight. And a bare knuckle boxing requires a much higher level of skill because you don't have the chance to duck as many punches or take punches to your gloves. So I think that's where our biggest value lies in the rule set. It's clean. It's a gentleman rule set apart from the one-arm clinch, which I think brings that bit of excitement in addition to just throwing punches. And then no kicks, no elbows, no throws, nothing else. Just pure boxing. I think that's what our true value lies. And having fighters from different disciplines, like Lightweight or Muay Thai, fighting on that rule set to see how they do on that rule set, I think that's an additional benefit for the fan. I mean that for the fan, that's what should be interesting. It's like back in the day when MMA started, you had a wrestler versus boxer versus BJJ versus those comparison of styles. Now, if we have to match the style of the country or the popular style of the fighter, then we go out completely from our main direction, which is, are you a fighter? Or you think you're tough because you're a Muay Thai guy? Let's fight boxing rules, no plus. Is the toughest you can get.
With the international growth and seeing that you want to go in the just keep the rule set and go in that direction, what do you think has been the best outcome from going to all these different countries and all these different regions? What does it provide to the BKFC? Does it provide more talent that you guys can then utilize? Or do you think that the growth is more important to move to these different regions to introduce this type of new sport to a brand new country?
I think it's a combination of several factors. On one side, we obviously get brand awareness and publicity. We're stepping in new countries. Secondly, absolutely a much more massive pool of talent. We get bombarded with fighters or managers that want to compete for us from all over the world. And the second, there is an announcement of an event, our phones get bombarded. That's a good indicator for me. So that means people are following BKFC outside of the US. They're aware on which country they might have more chance to compete. So we're getting contacted, for example, from Russian people and Arab people when we announce the Dubai event, naturally, in Asia, because it's closer. And then we announce Europe, we get a lot of fighters from Europe contacting us. So our pool has definitely expanded. The brand awareness has grown. I also think we have an impact on these countries, and they might, or at least I hope, that they're looking at combat sports industry differently now, because with Conor on board, we were able to show that we have an actual economic impact on the location. We bring business to your place, which totally changes the perception from someone who is on the other side, a politician or a government figure that has to decide whether to support that activity in their country. When they know we have an economic impact and we're bringing value, that changes the way they perceive BKFC. So I think a combination of these three factors I would put on top of my list.
Lubomir, I saw that you spoke about this a little bit, and I haven't seen too many people report on it, but the tournament structure that you want to do, I think it's called the Baddest. Is that true? And can you tell me a little bit more about that? What are you guys trying to achieve with this new tournament structure?
The main idea, this was David's idea, and I loved it the second he mentioned it. In the combat sports world, we haven't seen a tournament that leads to a big amount of money being won by one person who can truly claim he is the baddest or the best. Meaning, let's take MMA, for example, or even boxing. There's so many different organizations. It's hard to make two fighters face each other because they're both under different contracts. So with the baddest, we want to invite anyone who thinks is the toughest guy in the world to fight on that rule set. And essentially bring the feeling of an Olympic game or a world championship where you know you've tested your skill against the best of the best. So once you get that title, not only that the money are worth it, but once you get that title, you are undoubtedly the baddest man on earth, because you faced everyone that could potentially sign up. No limitations of contracts or regions or whatever.
What do you think about going into a country and doing little tournaments? Like, I know for a fact Myanmar has some of the toughest people and nobody even knows about how tough these people are. Wouldn't you think it would be in the best interest of the BKFC to do a tournament that out of 40 athletes or 20 athletes, the one that wins the tournament gets entered into the BKFC and gets a contract?
So that was one of the initial ideas. And it's all about logistics and financing. We can do it in different models. Obviously, some require more resources, like having small tournaments or qualifiers. Will require more resources, so we have to evaluate whether that is more important than running the big shows internationally. But both models are good. I mean, even if you give freedom for anyone to sign in, they still go through a selection process before being allowed to get in. For that particular tournament, for the baddest, we want to make sure everyone that steps in the ring is good enough, is tough, he has the skills, he's not just a street fighter, no records, no fights for us to evaluate their performance. We want this truly to bring the world's baddest guys in terms of baddest, I think the best. In that group. In terms of simply signing for BKFC, we did run several casting or trying outs outside of the US. In the US, that's a regular process. And again, it's all about logistics and resources.
Out of all the regions, this is a tough question for you because you might be biased about Bulgarians, right? But out of all the regions that you guys are signing new athletes from, personally, I like seeing the South Americans because of their boxing style. I know that they're very ruthless fighters. I know for a fact the Myanmar, Cambodia, those regions as well, they bring in really good talent as well. Out of all the regions, which one do you think is the most exciting? Like, which fighters are bringing in that you're the most excited for right now?
If I have to put them under a certain frame, I would say a combination between East Europeans and Russian or that region, the Kafkas Russian region, because over there is there's over 100 years of culture where government supported the development of sport. So it's in our DNA. People practice a lot more, like a lot more people practice combat sports. The long history of boxing, good schools where scientists and doctors and the government was investing millions into finding out the best techniques to practice, the best preparation and recovery and whatnot. So I think that region is still producing fighters that have a very high level of skill, as in technique, display of technique, not just heart or desire to fight, but actual boxing technique, which in my opinion brings beauty. And then in addition to that, they're tough guys. They don't give up easy. As I said, if I have to generalize them or put them into a certain framework, I would say East European, Kafkas, Russian region. I'm always excited because you can see good skill of boxing and a desire to finish the fight, not to win the fight, to finish the fight. I mean, these guys fight every punch there, aims to be a knockout punch. But outside of that statement, every country brings someone who is really exciting. Like on top of my head, I just now remember Nico Cafe from Spain, the second time he fought for us in Dubai. The level of skill that he displayed on the ring was incredible. Incredible. So doesn't matter where he's from, his skill brings that uniqueness to our ring.
How important was it for you to bring it to Bulgaria personally?
Oh, very important. This was another step in my personal development in that industry. Personal and professional development. It was very important because I became a fan of BKFC after I watched one event live. I went to Miami to meet with David. This was our first meeting, and I sold him the idea of having an event in Bulgaria, but I was still just focused on bringing like international organization in Bulgaria
just for publicity of my country and for my name here to still stay in the lens of combat sports. But then I watched the event. David invited me on the show. And when I watched the show, I'm like, oh, this is different. Because I haven't watched MMA for over 15 years. I lost the desire to watch. Fights became more boring. There's very little to learn. And I'm a fighter, so I like to watch someone that I can learn from. But when I watched BKFC, that adrenaline hype, the intensity, the short rounds, and the knockouts and the thrill, this was like a whole different anime. This brought back all the memories from when we first started doing or became fans of martial arts. And then these two things combined. Now, not only I wanted to bring something to Bulgaria to reinforce my reputation here or to pave way for something new, now I wanted to take BKFC everywhere. I wanted people to see that rule set because it's extremely exciting and I think it's by far the best on the market.
I've got a hard question for you now. So boxers, they've got the big glove, 14, 16 ounces. They fight professionally and they get separated in the clinch, right? So a lot of people say if you have wraps on or if you have boxing gloves on, it disincentivizes you to learn boxing technique, actually throwing a punch from a bare fist, because boxers break, a lot of them, it's been said that, you know, they can't throw punches in the same efficiency as an MMA fighter who has a 4 ounce glove, because a 4 ounce glove, you don't have the protection not to break your hands. You need to punch correctly so you cannot break your hands. Now that the BKFC is bringing in all these people from different sports to fight in this new rule set, do you think that it's much easier for an MMA fighter who's fought in the 4 ounce gloves that also has the clinch to go into bare knuckle? Or do you think that boxers who are technical boxers still have the advantage, even though they take the gloves off and even though they don't have the clinch in this new rule set?
My personal opinion, and I think it can be supported by enough evidences, is that there is absolutely no comparison in terms of techniques and skills in boxing between an MMA fighter and a boxer. One of the reasons I stopped watching MMA for a long time now is precisely the low level of skill displayed in striking. The fact that two MMA fighters striking each other for 15 minutes doesn't mean they're good strikers. It means they're, you know, they're equally bad, in my opinion. When you look at boxers, they practice on punch with the hand. MMA guy, and I am an MMA guy, so I'm not criticizing someone else. I criticize myself, including. We focus on wrestling, grappling, takedowns, takedown defense, kicks, elbows. There's so many other elements. We have to train physically, completely following different type of training to be able to lift, smash, grip, use isometric versus, you know, striking. Boxers focus on one thing only, throwing a punch. So there is absolutely no comparison. There's no one better than boxers in throwing punches. And I think the statement that they're afraid to punch without a glove is extremely out of context. You can watch any CCTV footage of Russian cameras or Eastern European cameras and nightclubs, and you see these guys that are bouncers. They throw their punches without the glove harder, because you're aiming for that knockout. I mean, people fight on the street a lot, and the heart, the psychology is completely different. So what I see is that not only boxers are better for our organization because they truly display boxing skills, but they're absolutely more proficient, efficient, and effective without the gloves, because they have practiced much longer how to use their hands. They decide how strong to hit and where to aim, whether to aim in the bone where you can break your hand or aim in the chin. So when you're a boxer, it's easier for you to adapt your technique to sneak that hand in the right spot. But if you're an MMA fighter, how long have you focused just on boxing? You spend 10 years on boxing? I doubt it. You practice everything, which dilutes your focus. So boxers. I go with boxers.
My final question that I have for you today is about Yoel Romero. That's the biggest story coming out recently, that he's entered the BKFC finally after having a lot of different Cuban talent that he also were friends with that entered the BKFC already. So now that he's finally here, what do you think we can expect from him doing his debut in the BKFC?
It's a very subjective question, I think. I think everyone watches popular fighters for different reasons. Do people watch them because they want them to win or because they want to see the level of skill, or they just enjoy them, you know, looking at them fighting? I don't know. My personal opinion, again, because I cannot provide anything outside of that, is that for BKFC, I think this was an incredibly important step, because we are once again proving that we can attract talent from the upper echelons of our industry. I love Joao Romero as an athlete. He's an absolute display of what an athleticism and behavior of a fighter should be. He's well-spoken, he's very respectful, very humble, and incredibly gifted in terms of skill and athleticism. And so I can only hope that he truly displays the highest level of his skill at the time, and he improves our reputation by showing that people from the upper classes in terms of popularity are also interested to fight in BKFC. On that rule set, that let's not forget, man, one fight in BKFC can change your career to good or to bad. The injuries involved are not as you know, pleasant. There is always a risk. So for someone like him to step in, try to build a career or try to have an impact on his career and our reputation, I think it's incredible. I can only hope that he brings the best and that it plays in our favor.
That's all we have time for, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Lubomir, for your time. Is there any final remarks you want to say to everybody at home as we wrap up the podcast today?
No, I can only say that I hope people understand that bare knuckle is not just a brutal, bloody sport. It actually requires the highest level of boxing skill in terms of attack and defense. And I think it really brings one of the most brave or the bravest fighters in the world to step on that ring. So for all the fans out there who are not very familiar, I truly advise them to at least watch it one time, because when you see it, you understand that's not just a bloody sport. There's something more to it. There's a lot of heart display and courage and bravery and skill. So I just hope people understand that or appreciate it. And I hope to see more new countries in the next years.
Follow Lubomir on Instagram, link in the description, and follow Anything Combat. We will see you all next time.
Thank you.
Become a combatant.